Excuse me, this is Tanya. We cannot hear you on the Zoom. Can you hear me? I
Hey
assume
Tanya,
we started.
I can hear you. I don't think they can hear us. I'll give them a call. I just texted Ben. So.
Okay, thanks.
Is that better now? Can you hear us?
Yes, there you are. Thanks.
Okay, good. Well, I'll start over then. We had a yeah, I think we were the system was muted. We all had our mic, we had our mics on, but wasn't going out. So again, welcome for those of you who are watching on Zoom. We've had some issues with Zoom this evening as we were starting up for the meeting, and it was kicking us off. So if we disappear again, maybe it's more of that, and we'll just try to reestablish. But our agenda for tonight is really just the general meeting, going through the general meeting agenda. Got enough items on that to make sure that everybody understands what those items are, and we can resolve questions and things that way during this review. I'll have one more item to add to the agenda that'll probably go under the consent agenda. That'll be introduction of yet one more NCO, and this one will be to fund the playground equipment project as we have selected some equipment and are ready to put ourselves in position to order it. So we will have the approval of our minutes, and I've reminded council members to review the minutes if they haven't yet and be prepared to offer. Well, let the clerk know if you've got any changes to them. And by the way, our treasurer Ben Sadler is sitting in the clerk chair tonight and will be again next Monday night covering for that position since we are still recruiting for a new clerk to replace Karen, who's left. So we'll have committee, or excuse me, staff reports from the Gustavus Visitors Association, the Disposal and Recycling Quarterly Report, Treasurer Monthly Financials, and our city administrator will give a report at the general meeting. Kathy, is there anything you want to discuss now as an advance notice on your report or give people an idea of some of the stuff you've been doing?
I don't really have an advance notice on my report, and I'll be reporting in via Zoom
Right, next
on
week.
next Monday. Just, been really busy working on, continued funding things and projects that have taken up a considerable amount of time. We are you'll go over the application you made for the playground equipment?
Yes, yeah, we'll
Okay.
cover that in
All
the
right.
consent agenda, so we'll
And
carry on.
then we did not make the cut on the Good River Bridge project, so we'll be putting in, instead of the CTP, we'll be putting the same project in, hopefully for the Bridges program coming up when they announce the opening for that. So we can use whatever we put together for that for another funding opportunity.
And you have a, I think you've got a meeting with the DOT folks to get a better feeling for how we scored on that and where we might be able to strengthen our. I can't imagine what else we could do beyond what you've done. It was fabulous.
I don't know, but
And,
it's, maybe it's not crumbling enough. I don't really know. But they're
yeah.
going to do a debriefing with us to go over the scores. And we also have Senator Keel's office asking what the issue was also. So we have them looking at a couple of things for us. So anyway, I don't I don't have a full report pulled together right now, but I will have one for Tuesday.
And and you've been doing a lot of work, when we could mention, to resolve some contract issues on the library bike shelter project with the selected contractor there. And we're hoping to resolve those things and move forward with that.
And I've also been actively recruiting everybody and anybody for a few different things. The clerk, and you know, we have some project management needs as well. And so we're looking. I take every opportunity to try to recruit. Let's put it that way. So yeah, that's what I have.
Okay,
right,
good.
Now,
we'll look forward to the full report next week from you via Zoom. And we can move on. On the consent agenda, we'll have the three items listed plus one more. Unless we come up with something else to put on here, that the certificate of records destruction is that our usual monthly deal on that. And then we have an introduction of an amendment to department budgets, where our treasurer has sorted out. This is something the treasurer does this time of year, every year, looking at where we are in the budget on with various departments and their line items. And if there's something, we're out of, say, supplies here and we're over on travel there, we can move money from travel to supplies, that sort of thing. Ben, would you like to give us a summary of what you've been doing, or description, please?
Yes, thanks, Mike. And I want to apologize. We were in a hurry the other day when we were setting all this up. So I've had to make a few changes to what you guys are actually seeing in the packet. The idea is, for best practices, is that the budget would be within 10% of the actual income and expenses at the end of the year. And so ideally, at this time of the year, the treasurer would go through, look at all the line items, and try to bring them within 10% going forward. And so that's what I've done here. There were a few things where typos or where I messed up. So the first one I'll just tell you is on admin telecommunications, I changed the amount, and I put $5,000 instead of $1,000. Oh yeah, see, $7,500 to $8,500, it says $5,000 there. So I've changed that to $1,000. The GVFD supplies, I don't know what I did there. I accidentally was taking $350 away from their supplies, so I removed that. And the marine facilities building I had in as a negative, and it should have been a positive. So the way that all this changes is, at the bottom of it, it came to $430,681 that we had extra, and the actual extra amount is $3,213.19. So it worked out in our favor, my mistake. So sorry about that. And then I don't know if anybody has any other questions about it. That was the idea with that, is just to bring everything back into line with reality. The marine facilities, the contractual services was $53,000. We spent $13,000. So, you know, brought that money back in to use for different purposes in this fiscal year budget.
Okay, so we'll have the updated version in the packet for the general meeting.
Yes, I'm sorry, that was my point, is it will be updated and corrected for the general meeting packet.
All right. Any questions for the treasurer on this from any council members? Shelley?
Let's see here. I was wondering about the administrative costs. My turn on. Yeah. Let's see here. I tend to get too many papers going on. In the, yeah, let's see, it's on yeah, the administrative costs at $35,000. I was wondering, that seems to be a fairly considerable increase. I was wondering what that was all about.
That's for the audit that we'll be required to do in 2024, okay. Or in fiscal year 2024.
And I apologize, I'm probably asking the same question every time we get together and talk about the budget, but thank you.
Yep.
Okay, is that resolved on that one?
On that one, yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Did we want to do the approval of the minutes? And read the vision
statement? Oh, we didn't do our vision statement. Well, we got, with the approval of the minutes is next, is at the general meeting.
So, but, sorry.
So that's why I just remind everybody that they do need to read that. Yeah, we didn't do our vision statement. So why don't we do that? Why don't we back up since I forgot that? Shelley, would you like to read it?
Sure.
Remind us why we're here.
Okay. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
We feel much better now. We knew there was something wrong. Okay. Okay, any other questions on our NCO that resorts our, you know, makes adjustments with our budget? So this is our current fiscal year budget, of course, we're talking about, for anybody who was out there who was confused. Okay on this? So, okay. Any questions come up, Ben, I'm sure can answer them during the, you know, the week. So that would then moves us down to FY23, introducing FY23 exit. We haven't assigned the number yet. I guess, do we have a number on these yet, or when do you assign those?
We assign them at the general meeting, I believe is what Karen said. I always just give her two X's and she assigns the numbers. So.
Yeah, so I think you'd put them in that you'll have actual numbers in it for the, in the packet on Wednesday. They should by then have their actual numbers in it.
Right. You know, that, I think that we leave them this way for this meeting, just in case somebody says, no, we don't want that NCO, then we haven't assigned a number.
Okay. So this next one is for the Brian Waverly Memorial thing. Ben, do you want to give a quick explanation of that? That one's pretty simple.
Sure. So some folks got together and donated money to the Brian Waverly Memorial Fund at the library, and the library was sitting on that money waiting for a good, you know, what, how they wanted to spend it. And they have decided to spend it on a mural to go up behind the whale in the library. And so it didn't have a line item in the budget. So I created the NCO to add in the expense of the amount of money donated.
Okay, so so the money has been received, and this is just providing for an identified expense for it.
That's correct.
Right. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, then we might as well go to the next item that I think we can add to the consent agenda, and I'll cover the whole thing on the playground at the time here while we're talking about it. But we would add a to the consent agenda in the introduction of an NCO. And this one actually has a number on it. I see FY23-23 NCO. Ben prepared this today for $38,000 to move from our capital improvement long-term savings. That's the AMLIP account line that we stash money in that we draw from for capital projects. And it's all money that we have that has been surplus in the past that we then save for use in capital projects. And we are putting $38,000 in there to make sure we've got enough to cover the expansion of playground equipment in the Salmon River Park. And so I printed and passed out here around the table for everyone copies of the information on the equipment that we want to buy. And I guess I should back up and explain how we did this. You may remember that back in October, the children from Ms. McSpadden's class, actually grades 2 through 5 that she teaches, came to City Hall and lobbied us for making improvements to the Salmon River Park playground equipment to have stuff that would be suitable for bigger kids than the existing equipment, which has served small kids very well. It's been a wonderful project. And we remember and thank Lori Trummer for having managed that project, and Glacier Bay Construction, I think, did the installation and all that. And that was done on an endowment fund grant that time. But it's suitable mainly for smaller kids. And the classroom said there, when families come here, the bigger kids don't have anything to play on in the family, and only the little ones do. So they suggested some more stuff that would be sized for ages 5 up to 12. And so we sent out a request for proposals to 3 manufacturers, all of whom had exhibited up at the AML meeting in Anchorage. And I believe both Kyle and Kathy talked to a number of those manufacturers' representatives. So we sent out a request for them for their proposals or suggestions for equipment that would be suitable for the bigger kids. And we sent them a picture of the stuff that we had for the smaller ones. And each of those manufacturers sent us proposal. Oh, and we asked for a budget of in the order of 20,000. You know, we weren't setting anything, a specific limit or anything, but we wanted to know what would be, they might suggest for, if we were to have $20,000 or so to expend to buy the stuff, and that wouldn't include the installation. So we got proposals from 3 manufacturers, and each one of them sent us 3 or 4 options of their suggestions. Kyle and Janine were kind enough to join me in doing a run through on this to look at them. And then we laid them out on the tables here and invited the kids back to look them over. And they were about as excited about them, or even more so than we were. When I saw them, I wanted to buy everything. It all looked so good, you know. But there were lots of good options, and the kids liked all of them, but they had some that they seemed to gravitate and be most excited about of them all. And it got down to, it looked like the best way to use our funding would be to use the option 1 from the Exerplay representative Carl Croft up in Anchorage, and then to add an item from their option 2 that was kind of cool. So if you look at the thing I've handed out here around the table, the copy, you'll see kind of what that it's like on the second page. The first page is just their cover, but the second page there shows that this has a whole bunch of climbing stuff and overhead bars, which are stuff that the kids were excited about. It's got a couple of interesting slides that have a bump in the middle, and kids can slide down side by side on those slides. A lot of climbing things. So it's really aimed at things that'll get kids moving, and they'll have to do some work to and expend some energy on them. And you can, if you look at the pictures on the successive pages, you'll see close-ups of what some of the pieces of that look like. And then, but the kids like one other item that was in, oh, and by the way, that set is $17,555, and they estimated about $2,420 in freight to get it here. So, you know, in total, pretty close to the $20,000 we asked them. Then in option two, which had some other climbing stuff, but less exciting climbing stuff, but it had this Revy wheel spinner that you'll see on, I think it's about your last page there, that the kids thought it would be great fun. And that one, by the way, is designed so that a child in, of course, even adults, I think, can get on this thing, but in a wheelchair or something can slide onto this and spin with the other kids on it. So that's one that has, you know, that accessibility option for kids that may not be able to climb on all the other things for some reason. So we thought to add that one, and that has a cost of $6,060. So we'd have a little more freight and the total of those, and if I were to estimate, I think I was figuring something like 3,000 in freight or some such, would be somewhere around 27,000. And then I figured we needed at least another 10,000 or so to make sure we had enough money for installing. We're going to have to build a pad extension about 20 by 40 feet onto the existing pad. We have in mind orienting that extension at 90 degrees to the axis of the existing one. So one edge will continue along what would be the south edge of this, of the existing pad with the existing equipment on it, and extend it 20 more feet in the direction of the fire hall. But then it would kind of turn right and go 40 feet to the north. And so, and we take down, I think it's six very small trees just to make some room there. But the biggest one of those is about 5 inches, and most of them are about 2 or 3 inches in diameter. So not much in the way of vegetation removal there. And we would outline it with timbers like the existing one is, and then fill it with about 8 inches of similar sand or very small gravel like the existing one. And I checked with a contractor and asked him, you know, if we were programming at least $10,000 for installing, for building the pad, providing the gravel, the timbers, and then installing the equipment, would that cover it? And he said, yes. He said, that should be more than, should be plenty. So I put that in, and actually I think I added another 1,000 just so we could maybe buy some, you know, a bench or two or that sort of thing for adults that are coming and sitting and watching the kids. So so that came up to 38,000 that I think is enough to get us through this project. So we need to have that in place. I've notified Carl Croft that we'd like to buy his equipment and ask him to make us a new quote with a new estimate on the freight and everything. And just in case there are any changes, because it's been over 2 months since they sent the quote, and told him we wouldn't be probably making the purchase until we could get our funding, our appropriations through our June meeting on the 12th of June. So it would be sometime after that we would be issuing a purchase order for the equipment once we have our funding approved for the purchase. So we have the money obviously in all of our savings to do this, but that said, we're still looking at a couple of, you know, we have applied for a couple of grant opportunities or we are applying for a couple. One of them is similar to the what's the grant called, health HRC or something like that for the state.
It's from the Department of Health, and it started out last year with different types of funds for COVID mitigation, or the year before for COVID mitigation. And we used the one that we got, which was minimal, for the tower at the fire hall, or the antenna and the wiring. And then they came up with a second round of funding for that, which we were able to use to put up and install the tower. But they requested that if we had any other projects, that we could apply for them in case the communities, it was for all communities, in case there were communities who did not apply and they had funding left over. So based on that, we submitted this, because one of the reasons that you can apply for things is to get people outdoors and exercising and being active and being outside and away from closed in spaces. And it fit into about four different categories of what the funding could be used for. So we decided, well, even if they only give us half of it, it's a maximum of 20,000, but even if there was enough money left over and we only got a portion of it, we could put it towards this project. So it, for that reason.
Right. So we generated that application end of last week and got it in on time. I think the deadline actually is tomorrow or something like that, the second, but we sent it in on Friday. So if there's some extra money available on that, that would mean that we wouldn't have to spend as much. And then Jason Custer of APT.
Mike, sorry. Yeah, it's called Healthy and Equitable Communities.
Oh, that's right.
And it's through a memorandum of agreement. It's not really it's kind of like a grant application, but it's not super detailed. They were happy with all the details we gave them. They said it was more than they got from lots of people. So
yeah, so we should score pretty well. And it's a pretty easy, I mean, I think we're certain to get the one for the fire tower. And then if there's some extra money, I think we're well positioned to get something in a third round of to fund the playground equipment. And then Jason Custer from AP&T was here last Tuesday and Wednesday. Spent some time with Jim Mack and me, and we happened to mention this was one of our projects, and he suggested a granting agency called the CrossFit Foundation down in Seattle that also funds things like this and often doesn't get very many applications, he said. So he suggested that we contact them, and he sent the contact information to me and also wrote to the person that I need to talk to there, who was out of the office until I think middle of this week. And so I'm going to follow up and talk to them and see about submitting another application with them on the off chance that we can fund some or all of it that way. And I really appreciate Jason's lead on that. And maybe that's an agency we should be looking for more, especially health related or outdoor recreational types of grants. We'll try to establish a relationship with them as well. So that's what we're doing here. Do any of you have any questions on this playground project? We did approve the project some months ago, but so we're just now getting where it's coming more into shape. Yes.
Is there an issue about liability insurance or an increase in our insurance?
Not that I know of.
Have we approached our insurer to find out?
Nope.
Okay.
We can do that. Of course, we've got play equipment out there now. And so it's probably, you know, I imagine, I mean, we are pretty well covered for liability, but we do keep the insurer aware of increases in what we've got. So that's a good reminder, and I'll make sure they're aware of that. This stuff, though, is very well designed, you know, safety designed, and these manufacturers all provide stuff for municipalities all over the place, so and that have just the same concerns we would have. Okay, so if there are no questions about that, we'll put that NCO 23-23 on the consent agenda to introduce, and then with public hearing in June 12th, I think is the meeting. Okay, the next one will be, these are, the next is four ordinances for public hearing, and they are all NCOs to fund, two of them are to fund projects, and two of them are other accounting things that we do. So the first one is for the septic storage facility. That's NCO 23-16. And it's in the amount of $42,000. I think we've gone over this quite a bit. So it's to fund the installation of our tanks. And we have a contractor selected for this project and ready to move forward with it. But this is the actual funding to cover the cost. So that's for $42,000. Any questions on that one? We've kind of gone over that tank project, septic tank.
Right. Yeah, I feel like maybe I had just misremembered, but I felt like were we appropriating funds for this in steps? Because I feel like we had already appropriated funds for it. And then in the NCO, the wording here says due to additional costs estimated by the city engineer. So is this an increase in cost versus what we had originally projected, or is this just kind of like phased funding?
I'll go to a city administrator for this. She's been on top of this one.
This is in addition to, for all of the site prep, the site work, the shipping costs were triple what they were estimated at in the NCO due to the size and the carrying capacity of the equipment that had to bring them. We had to retrofit a couple of covers, and the additional requirements placed by Department of Environmental Conservation for strapping and securing things came into play as well. And we also have to kind of make a pad for the truck to be able to go to pump it out. So yes, it did increase considerably from the original NCO, but the original NCO just supposed getting the tanks here pretty much and putting them in a hole in the ground. So we didn't realize until partway through the permitting processes and all of that, that there was going to be a lot of additional requirements. But there's already like 30 people chomping at the bit to get their tanks pumped. So it's still going to be a really good and important service for the community. And it's hopeful that down the road, it might lead to a second stage where we could have a third tank to like do some dewatering or something like that, a longer term solution, let's put it that way. So yes, it's more.
Could I make a statement also?
Yeah, go for it.
So the original $37,500 that was appropriated for the project was taken out of ARPA funds. So just so that everybody knows, it's not all coming out of savings or whatever. That was ARPA funds that we had in the checking account that we use for the first installment.
Cool. Love to hear that. And this is more maybe refreshing my memory, but I was over the weekend talking with some community members, and mentioned this project and was surprised that none of them had any idea that this was going on, and all of them were excited about it. And I guess I'll reiterate a question that was asked of me. So is this something that the community is, or that the city is looking to leverage in a way to, I don't want to say for financial gain, but are we trying to make this self-sustainable, or are we basically taking any, you know, net margin that exists in this project and trying to dangle that as a carrot for the operator in Juneau to get them over here to take the contract? That's what I told them, but I wanted to make sure I had understood that we're probably not going to be trying to pull any margins on this, and the idea is going to be try and make it reasonable for them to come over and do the pumping.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, we really don't want to be in this kind of business at all. But in order to get something started, we had to make the investment, because there's only one septic system or company in Juneau now, and the two owners want to sell it. And this guy's been gung-ho trying to help us do something so they can come over, because they wouldn't come over before because it tied up their truck for too long and it put them out of business over there. So this is the solution to being able to have him come pump a whole bunch of houses with a smaller truck, put it in the tanks, and then come back with a bigger truck and take it out with the bigger truck.
Cool.
So yes, that's exactly right. We don't want to, but maybe down the road somewhere, somebody private might want to take it on.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe someday in the future this ends up being an asset that we can leverage somehow. But yeah, mostly just glad to know that I'm not misrepresenting the project when people ask me about it and I go, oh, what did we say at the meeting? What did we say?
Well, and even, you know, a lot of places in small villages have treatment facilities, but your operators all have to be certified and they all have to keep current and they all have to have continuing CEUs and they have to be supervised by somebody maybe somewhere else that's a higher level than an entry level operator. So mm-hmm. I used to do the classes and the exams up in Barrow for this, the operator treatment program. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and a lot of those village water treatment systems that were paid for by federal money have gone belly up because they weren't maintained and they couldn't, the village operations weren't able to operate them properly. So we're trying to minimize our exposure to that sort of problem and keep shipping this stuff up to Juneau, where it gets processed over there by treatment operators that are paid for by Juneau and so forth. So we're trying to minimize the exposure of the city on this, but still find a way to enable the residents to have a way to get their tanks pumped and keep them from failing. So I think there's real value to this. In total, it's costing us a significant amount of money, $70,000 total between the two NCOs, but it's going to be a service that people will be grateful for.
I totally agree. I think long term the benefits to avoiding the health issues that could potentially be caused by septic overrun in town is definitely worth the less than $100,000 that we're putting into this.
So. Right. Yeah. And John Barry, of course, who's our project manager on this, has a huge amount of experience with septic systems. He's engineered them for a long time and is planning this such that if we want to add on to it for a dewatering thing, so we don't have to ship as much material to Juneau, we could just ship solids, not so much the liquids, then we may have an opportunity to do that farther down the road if it looks like it's an economical thing for us to do. The next one is NCO, FY23-17 NCO, remove or the repair and replacement fund. And this is just actually the transfer or moving the money into our repair and replacement AMLIP account. It's one of our AMLIP accounts that we continually add money to for the repair and replacement of fixed assets. And this is already budgeted. This is budgeted in our operating budget for this year. And each year we do this and transfer the amount of money that the formula that we have for setting this money aside has determined we should do for the particular year. So this year it's $16,545.71 that will get transferred to that account. We're not spending this money now. It's just moving it into a specific savings line as a matter of prudent management of our assets and prepare, be ready to replace things when we need to. Okay. And then the next one is number 18. This is the movement of money from our checking account to put it into AMLIP accounts where it'll make some money. And Ben, would you like to give us a summary of this, how we're doing this and why?
Sure. So we also have a formula that says how much money we should have in our checking account compared to what we have in our other accounts. And we were way over it. It took me a while to kind of get a handle on how the whole process worked. And now that I feel that I understand that process a little bit better. I felt comfortable moving $435,000 out of our checking account into our AMLIP accounts. I suggested that we put some into road maintenance because that account was starting to get pretty low. And I feel like going forward without the National Forest receipts being what they were, that putting money into AMLIP for road maintenance down the road is a good idea. And then because we've been doing so many projects recently, I suggested that we just put the other $235,000 into the capital project long-term. That just seemed to me to be the right place to put it. I Mike and Kathy seem to agree, but that's why it's there.
Okay. Shelley, did you have a comment? You wanted to discuss this, I believe.
I did. My thoughts were, I guess, we've got on page 37 of the handout, it describes the various AMLIP accounts. We've got six of them. One of them is it describes the capital long-term funds for capital projects in the future. And then at the bottom, it has AMLIP reserve, which are funds from prior year surpluses with no prescribed use. I have absolutely no qualms at all about putting an additional $200,000 in road maintenance. I see those guys working every day on the roads. But the capital improvement long term would bring it up to over $1 million. I'd like to see some funds going into the reserve account, sort of rainy day account, rather than capital improvements. I know these things can be switched back and forth, but just concerns that we may have expenses that we may need other funding for. I would like to have a designated rainy day fund, such as the AMLIP reserve account. And I was talking with Susan Warner, who's always pretty brilliant about these things. And I asked her, well, what kind of situations could you imagine where we might need the reserve account funds? And she says, well, unanticipated lawsuits, environmental catastrophes, fire. I know we have this at that 50,000 disaster funds, but that there may be other situations where it's not necessarily a disaster, like the problems with, hacking our computer systems like they did up in the Matsu, that there may be, we may find something that's desirable that we would like to have the funding for. So I would like to see maybe $100,000 of that second batch put into the AMLIP reserves, as long as we've got that account and are going to be using it. I like the fact that it's an undesignated account. It currently only has about 340,000 in it.
Ben, do we have any kind of formula for how much or algorithm for what we put into the AMLIP reserve account? Is that a special formula or is it just?
Nope, not exactly. There are some guidelines to follow in the policy and procedure as far as the AMLIP accounts. Prior to my taking over as treasurer, the $549,000 that was used for the Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge was taken out of reserve, not out of capital projects.
Yeah.
And then we put it back into capital projects because we knew we had all these other projects coming up, which is what boosted the long-term reserve or capital improvement long-term as high as it is and left the reserve as low as it is. There is a policy and procedure, but it's not, there's no set in stone guideline. It's more the council's desire for where they'd like to see the money.
Sure. Other views on this?
Just by nature of its name, I feel like the reserve account is one that's probably a little bit harder to get money out of, or maybe you'd be less inclined to pull money out of, which I mean, considering there's still almost $800,000 sitting in long-term capital improvements, I'd be fine to see some of these funds go into something that we consider more of a reserve, considering this is the I guess maybe it would help just to make sure I'm understanding correctly that these funds essentially are, I guess this is going to sound like a dumb question, but how did this money end up in our checking account in the first place? How do we wind up with $435,000 extra dollars just sitting in checking? Is that from like a prior year surplus or I'm not sure.
We take in a lot of money.
Yeah, I've noted so, a lot of money.
So
we have too much income.
Yeah, so it's just the amount of income, you know, obviously keeps building. And what happens is this time of year, we're making a little bit less money than we were, say, back in August and September when everybody was paying, getting ready to leave town or whatever. But we still have big things like payroll and other things still need to be paid. And so typically earlier than this, the treasurer would have come along and said, okay, there's too much money in the bank account. I need to do an NCO to drop it down. Our previous treasurer didn't do that. And then I came on board and wasn't confident in taking $435,000 out of the checking account. So that's how it got as high as it did.
Gotcha. I appreciate that.
Yep.
So it's not something that this was like budgeted for a specific line item or it's just so I have a hard time imagining, you know, we have all of these lines and categories where we lay out where all of the money is going to go, and then the reality is, it you know, it's just in one account and you have to just make sure that it actually goes towards the thing. So I'm trying to put my lines together here, and I guess the other side of that is the fact that the AMLIP accounts, I mean, these are just sub accounts, right? It's if it goes into AMLIP, by all,
yes,
realistically, it's all just in the same exact AMLIP pool. There's no difference.
It was only, it was what happened is, I think in 2017 or 2018, there were, yes, the answer to your question is it is just one big fund with AMLIP. But in 2017 or 2018, Phoebe Vanslow cleaned up the AMLIP accounts we had. We had road maintenance encumbered and road maintenance unencumbered and had all these different things. And so she went through and cleaned them up to what we have now. And it's just to give an idea, I think, for the future councils, what that money was set aside for by previous councils is why there's the separation of the different ones.
Yeah, well, all those things considered, I have no qualms with doing as Shelley has recommended and maybe splitting some of this off into a reserve. I think that sounds totally fine.
So were you thinking like $100,000 of what was going into capital savings going into this, or how much did you have in mind?
Just, I was thinking about half of it, but it was just a ballpark estimate, just a guess.
Yeah, we've got $235,000. I'm okay with that. These accounts are fungible, you know. Yeah. You can always, we can draw out of almost any of them for almost anything. But so it's more a matter of how we want to organize and think of our savings as we think to the possible needs. And so, yeah, I'd be okay with that. What do you guys think we should put into reserve instead of the capital improvement long term? We still have plenty in capital improvement, especially since we took that bridge money out of the reserves and then put it into capital with the thought to recycle it in the capital projects. But we've got a lot in there, and when we can actually appropriate for a capital project out of either of them when it gets down to it, but the intent is to appropriate out of the capital savings thing. So any other feelings about how much to, we'd have a third line then on this NCO. We would reduce the line item for capital improvement long term, and instead put the difference into the reserve.
Mike, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to. May I make an observation or a comment?
Yes.
So, and I don't disagree with Shelley or Susan's proposal that we put some of this money into reserve. I think that's a good idea. But I would like to say to the council, when you're considering where you're moving this money around, although it's fungible, as Mike just said, 2 years ago we had a pandemic, and there were members of the community who thought we shouldn't touch any of our rainy day fund during the pandemic because we would need it on a rainy day. So by putting it into something called reserve, it makes it seem like it's a savings account that we don't want to touch. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea that we put money in the reserve. I wanted to put the $549,000 back into reserve originally. But, you know, when you put it in there, then future councils start, this council, future councils think that that's a savings account that's untouchable or whatever. We don't want that. None of the city's money is untouchable if the city needs it to continue its operation the way that we like to do it. So that's it. That's all I have.
So I'd love to follow on to that, because I mean, I don't know if this is, the city is certainly not an investment fund, but a really conservatively managed investment pool like AMLIP right now, with interest rates as high as they are, with this large of a balance. I mean, I've got some money right now that's in a 5% CD. And after we make these transfers, we'll have over $2 million in this account. And that's $100,000 a year, just in a completely, like, at the risk-free rate in the market. So that's part of my drive to want to put it into an account that's less likely to get touched. Because if we remain in a market condition where interest rates stay higher for longer, the more we can hold on to that money, the more we can make money with that money without having to raise taxes or, you know, I mean, that turns into like once a month. That's enough to take out some of these smaller capital projects just off of interest. So that's kind of part of my intention is, you know, let's know we have the endowment fund and that also works in that capacity, but let's just, you know, keep more of a good thing going. I don't see any problem with having the money snowball into more money. So yep. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's the idea of moving it out of checking and into AMLIP. And our AMLIP interest rate is 4.6 or something percent.
Yeah. It said 4.64 was the number that she got today. I thought that I had received an email where it was a little higher, but that's it was right there at that.
4.64. So if you move over $400,000 at that interest rate, that's a nice, that's a lot of thousands of dollars of interest we'll be getting out of this. So it's, we're putting the money to better, much better use. So
for sure.
Tanya, you have a comment?
Yeah, thanks. I like where Brian is headed and have been thinking about this over time here. And I wonder if it would be a good idea to have one AMLIP account that is considered the rainy day savings and trying to keep a minimum of, I don't know, 6 months of our budget, a year of our budget, and keep that in earning interest. And that is the true rainy day account for, you know, a pandemic or some sudden loss of income. And Mike, you know, you've been on the council many years. Have you, have there been discussions about that? I feel like, I mean, we obviously have that amount of money in our savings at all times, but just to actually formally designate it as this is the reserve, has that been discussed or ever attempted?
The closest thing that would come to that would be our policy and procedure for backup funding for our operating budget, right? I couldn't describe that off the top of my head accurately. I don't know whether, Ben, whether you could say something about that. We keep that money in our checking account right now, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
Remind me of how that works, please.
Well, it's not exactly what Tanya's saying, but the formula that we came up with this whole NCO is that we should be keeping between 17 and 44%, and ideally, can't remember now, 30%. It's in the reports that I give you, the financial reports that I do, but it's to keep this amount of our budgeted, of the budget in our checking account to cover us at all times. The rest of the money is then moved out into these different things. And seeing as I have my mic on anyways, I will just say that we are currently talking, Mike and Kathy and I have been talking about ways to update the AMLIP policy and procedures to make it so that the AMLIP current account, instead of moving money directly from AMLIP into the checking account where it might sit for months waiting for a project to get started, finished, and paid for, moving the money into the current account, but loosening our ability to be able to pull that money into the checking account without going through this process. So the money would be NCO'd in from AMLIP long-term, as an example, into AMLIP current, where it would sit, knowing that it had now been appropriated. And when I needed to pay the bill, I could just pull the money out of AMLIP and stick it into our checking account. And that way we would constantly be making interest on that money. It would never just be sitting, not collecting. And if we did that at that time, we would be changing the policy and procedure. And we could do something like what Tanya just suggested of making the AMLIP reserve $1.2 million, which is, I think, this year's budget or last year's budget, that amount of money always in reserve as the rainy day fund. We could, you know, when we change the policy for one, we could change the policy for all of them.
I like that. So, that sounds great.
Yeah. Thanks. I think that's something we can take up in a future work session do some planning. In fact, maybe some of you council members who are interested in this could get together with the treasurer and contribute to that, you know, how we might make that system work. I won't try to assign anybody right now, but I'll let you sort that one out. But I think that's something we can make better use of the cash we have to generate more cash, especially with the interest rates as high as they are now. It makes a lot more difference now than it did, say, a couple of years ago.
Could I say one more thing, Mike?
Yes, please.
So the other thing that I learned when I went up to the AGFOA, the AML conference, was that this year AMLIP started what they're calling AMLIP 2. And AMLIP 2 whereas we can have the money out of AMLIP today if we wanted it, AMLIP 2 takes a little bit longer to get your money back. It has the same level of risk, basically none, but it has a higher interest rate. And so it might be, at the same time, it might be advantageous to move the reserve account to AMLIP 2 from the AMLIP 1, where, because we know we're not going to be touching that money, it would make, you know, not whole lot more, but more than we're currently getting out of AMLIP, which is obviously still good.
Okay, more stuff to consider for the future. Okay, so let's get back to what, if we're going to make a change on this, suppose we just move 100,000 into the capital improvement long-term savings. We do have a lot of projects in the pipeline, so it's still making interest there. And then we moved 135,000 into that reserve. Would that meet the kind of, is that the kind of thing that you were hoping for?
I like that. Thank you. Is this would this be done by an amendment, or can this NCO be revised for Monday's packet?
This one we are, oh, that's right. This one is actually for public hearing, isn't it?
Yes, but we're not changing the dollar amount. We're just changing the line item.
Well, yeah, but if we change, that would be an amendment. So yeah, we'd have to do an amendment on that, which we can do. We can amend that. Shelley, would you like to prepare an amendment that changes the line item for the capital improvement long-term to just 100,000 and then adds a line of 135,000? And you could work with Ben on that, on preparing that amendment. And then we can just amend it after the public hearing.
Okay.
I don't know how the amendment process works, but Sol's going to start working on the packet tomorrow. So we'd want to do it tomorrow if you're available tomorrow, Shelley.
Okay. So Wednesday isn't the deadline. It used to be Wednesday.
It was Wednesday with Karen because she knew what she was doing.
Okay. Yeah.
We wanted to give ourselves the extra time.
Your packet, I should,
To be clear, your packet doesn't change. Your packet still shows it this way. And then after the public hearing, when we come back to the council table for comment, then Shelley would offer an amendment. She should have it written up in advance and sort of cleared with the, so that Ben knows exactly what it's going to be. And then we can discuss and pass that amendment. It sounds like it's going, like there's general agreement on it.
Yeah, Karen gave us a template for motion, so I'll just type it up and send it off to you.
Okay.
So that's the whole thing. When you have a public hearing, you know, the council actually acts on it. You discuss it. You've got some different ideas, and you can change it at that point. So that's I think it's a good thing to do. Okay, so. Then the next one is an NC, let's see, am I down to, NCO for the cul-de-sac improvements, and that's number 19.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut in here too.
Yeah.
I put the wrong thing. I wrote AMLIP capital improvement long-term, and it should have been AMLIP capital road maintenance, and I had the amounts right, but I just typed in the wrong, I copied and pasted the wrong thing. So does that mean we need to make an amendment for that one as well?
So yeah, we can do that.
Sorry.
If you would prepare an amendment for me, I'll make a motion on that. To just change the line, that will just change the line that it is coming out of.
You're right, because I just wrote the wrong account name.
Yeah, I guess it hadn't. Okay, so it's going to come out of what again?
It's going to come out of AMLIP road maintenance.
Out of AMLIP road maintenance. Okay, that's fine. It could have done this way too. It doesn't really matter a lot.
But the dollar amounts aren't right.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll get that line corrected then. Thanks. If you'll prepare that, I'll make that amendment. Okay, any other questions? That's just to fund the cul-de-sac improvements. We got 5 cul-de-sacs that we're going to be fixing up, remember. Any questions on that? Okay, that takes us to another item, which is going to shift up into ordinance for public hearing. We had it incorrectly shown as under new business, I think. That is our our actual adoption of our operating budget for fiscal 24. We introduced that NCO to adopt the budget for fiscal year 24 last month and scheduled it for public hearing for this month. So we'll have the public hearing. It'll show up in the agenda as we correct it. When we post it next Wednesday, it'll be shown as item 13 will be under ordinance for public hearing. And that is the adoption of our budget as we've been working on it. So any questions or anything else you want to raise or discuss about that item, which will one of the most important things we do all year.
So I should probably start with this too.
Sure.
We've changed four lines in the budget since it was originally introduced, and those did not make it into the packet. So I thought I'd tell you guys tonight, and if we need to have discussion on it, we can. I added $1,000 to interest and penalties. We originally spoke about the budget. I said that hard to guess how much money you're going to make in interest and penalties. It looks like we're making between $2,000 and $4,000 a year, and I needed a little extra money to balance the budget.
So, Ben?
Yes.
Didn't you send that out to folks an email? They could pull it up if they want to.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So yeah.
So it's in your email where he color coded the changes in orange, in case you need to pull it up.
That's correct. But I only sent that out to the council members. So everybody else online won't have that information.
They'd
so.
Have it if-
I also removed $1,128 from the DRC's telecommunications because they're no longer paying for internet. So I took that money back out to use it somewhere where it would be more useful. And then we were recording things that Kathy, as a city administrator, thought should not be in dues and fees, but should be in library materials. So I removed $4,200 from dues and fees for the library. And I added $6,500 in library materials to get it up to the level that they wanted. And so with all of those changes, you can see there in the orange is where it's highlighted on the screen. We still have a balanced budget with an excess of $424 and some change. So those are the only changes that we've made since the introduction. And I thought everybody should be aware of that.
Now, we will have to amend, since we have introduced this, we will have to amend it. And so it will go in the packet as it was introduced. What I think we should do is if you would prepare a treasurer's proposed amendment to cover those items, and then you could actually even put that in the packet along with the existing budget. And then we can move that, one of us can move that amendment to make those adjustments.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense to everybody? Okay, any other questions about the budget?
So this is maybe just a small detail, but as I'm looking at this one that has the highlighted with the pink on the right side, under the tax on the categories, each category has a label. And then it has underneath the label the various line items that go with that heading. And then there's a total for that heading. So for example, marine facilities income, and then there's a list of all the various things. And then it says total marine facilities income. There's an inconsistency in the way it's reported under the tax income one. Because under the tax income one, it says tax income, and then it has a list of taxes. And then for the total, it says total sales tax income. And so I'm wondering why the difference between, it seems to me that the headings should be the same, that it should say tax income at the top and then total tax income, or if we want to call that total, the beginning sales tax income and then have it be total sales tax income. I think it's just I'm not sure why there's the inconsistency. And I think the reason I think it's a point that matters is because I think that maybe is an item that people look at. And it seems that we want it to be as, I don't know, transparent or consistent as possible. And it, because it came to light when I was trying to like look at some of the information from the discussion or the description, shall we say, that you have in terms of like number one, where you made some descriptions of what the line items were, and you referred to something where the sales tax or something was our local biggest local generating of funds, and there was a number, a dollar amount. And when I went to look at that dollar amount on the line on that document, I didn't match because I was looking at the wrong thing because the label was different.
Is this a question for me, Janine?
Yeah, and so I'm just wondering if it's a reason why it's not consistent with everything else.
Right. I didn't make the spreadsheet, but I can take the word sales off if that's what you're asking. That's easy for me to accomplish, and it wouldn't matter to me. I don't, you know, I would imagine that. I'm assuming Phoebe made it. I don't know whoever made this. I guess they just didn't think it through that far, but I can definitely take the word sales out and just have it say total tax income.
So, right, just whatever would be consistent, whichever way you thought it was best to be consistent.
You know, the one thing I would say is it says tax income, but it doesn't then say sales tax. It says retail tax. So as retail, remote room, fish box, penalties, you know, it doesn't. So I guess that at the time they would probably assume that all of those different items equaled up to sales tax, but I don't, either way, if that's what you guys want, I don't mind taking the word sales out of that. That's a pretty simple fix.
Yeah, it's come up a couple times now, so it's probably worth just
okay
making the change, and no one has any strong feelings about leaving it.
Can we include that in your treasurer's recommended change on this? Okay. That seems good. That'll improve the explanation. Okay, any other things to raise on this? Or?
I will just, I've mentioned this a couple times, and I am happy with the budget. I think you've done a really good job at making this work. I think maybe I'm still just having like a post-traumatic response to the last time I paid my fuel oil bill. But that's the one thing left in this budget that still gives me a little bit of worry, is that we're probably going to run over, or I guess I would guess we're going to run over on our fuel oil budget. Just look, knowing personally how much the prices have gone up, and then looking at last year at almost twice what we have budgeted. I don't doubt that we'll have enough to make it work, whether that's, you know, pulling from other line items, but that's the only thing in the whole budget when I look at it that I go, that one doesn't fit perfectly with me. But I've mentioned that before, and I'm not totally okay with how it is. So,
Ben, do you have a feeling on that?
I do. The amount of money that we chose to roll over, because we're trying to get away from some of the past rolling over so much money. So rather than guessing at a large amount of money for rollover, we rolled over three very specific amounts of money pots that we know we're going to either spend or want that money in FY24, and we aren't going to use that in FY23. After we close out FY23 and we move into FY24, we'll have a better idea of how much money we actually have available to roll over. Then if the council would like to boost some of the items, we can use some of that rollover to boost items. The other thing would be, if for some reason we budgeted too low, that's what this budget amendment of departmental budgets NCO is at the end of the year, to clean up any little things like that. So we can either clean it up in the beginning or we can clean it up in the end. But in order to make the budget balance, we went with conservative numbers on that.
yeah, I support the direction you've taken it. Just felt like mentioning it, maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut.
No, it could be, and you know, it's one of those things where if you're looking at one, I'm not sure which, if you're looking at the Excel spreadsheet, then you're seeing everything broken out between electricity and fuel oil. When you look at it on the profit and loss, you just see utilities. Mm. So those two, you know, if we go a little over on fuel oil and we go a little under on electricity, it's not to say that that's going to happen, but that's another one of the kind of safeguards that we have in place there as well.
Yeah.
Anything, we may go a little higher on electricity and a little lower on fuel oil when we get our heat pumps running in this building.
Yeah, I just noticed.
We're hoping to have, finish up in the next week or week and a half or so. We'll have to get the electrical done, and we have to rerun one of the lines to the heat pump on from the back unit here to replace one that we had a leak on.
Yeah. Well, and also we talked about replacing the boiler at the fire hall with a small sealed combustion room heater, just like here. And I think because of the inefficiencies of the one that's in there, it's probable that once we don't need anything bigger than that to heat the bay. And if we get a more efficient heater in there, we may save on some of the fuel oil as well.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Good point. Yeah.
The library also, the same thing.
Yeah.
And maybe over time we'll have more heat pumps installed too. We'll see how this one works and do some planning for some more of them maybe. Electricity is cheaper than fuel oil these days. Okay, so anything else on the budget? Those are important things, and the treasurer will prepare a treasurer's recommended amendment that we'll introduce. I guess I'll probably move it. Okay, I think that gets us to the last item on the agenda, which is a quasi-judicial matter. And it's a liquor license request by Snug Harbor. To remind you how these do, the city is, whenever somebody with liquor license is asking for a renewal or a new license, the city has an opportunity to object to the ABC board if they think there's some reason that license should not be renewed or issued. I don't think we've ever objected, but we do put it on the agenda, and we take testimony from it becomes a quasi-judicial hearing. So it's different from our other the other matters. We can't discuss it in advance. We can't go and investigate the firm that is asking for the license or do anything to gather information out of the hearing. At the time of the hearing, you can review whatever's in the application in the packet, but then if there is testimony, say from the public, we would take that, and as part of our hearing, and then we would make a decision on whether we wish to waive any right to object to the license renewal. Just remember, it's not something that we discuss among ourselves before the hearing or we do any investigation on. And if accidentally you were to be contacted, say, by the owner of the outfit, which I don't expect would occur in this case, but and had some contact with them on it, the council member would be required to report that contact at the start of the meeting, and we could decide whether that was inappropriate or whether the council member should be excused from voting on it or some such. But that kind of problem doesn't really occur, but let's just remember to handle it properly as a quasi-judicial matter. And if you've gone through the council training, you've had an introduction to what quasi-judicial, what the requirements are for that kind of thing. So we'll discuss that when it comes up as a hearing matter and on as item 15 on the agenda, the last of new business. Okay. Any questions about handling that? Okay. And I'll be generating a mayor's report. And if there are any other things that anybody's going to want to give a report on projects that you've been working on for the city or something like that, we'll have an opportunity there at the end of the meeting. Does anybody else have anything they want to discuss during our work session here?
I know this isn't really sort of on the regular agenda, but I wanted to commend and thank Sol Martinez, Fire Chief, for picking up the ball for the health fair and doing such a great job at it. And thank you, Sol.
You're here. Definitely. Yeah. That's one thing that I will certainly have in my mayor's report and acknowledgement of Sol's efforts on that. And I'm grateful also for the participation of the search clinic and AWARE and other organizations that came up and that had information tables. The GVFD volunteers were there to do blood pressure checks and also to have information on the medevac insurance programs and that sort of stuff. So it was really great to have all of them there. The library volunteers were there too with books on public health and personal health. So it's all good.
And hospice and sale.
Hospice, yes, thank you. Yes. Okay, Jim.
Yeah, just real quickly, I got an email from the Department of Transportation saying that our side path project was non-competitive for the reasons below, and they didn't list any reasons below. And I tried to get in touch with them unsuccessfully, and I'll work on that this week.
When did you get that?
Last week, probably Wednesday or Thursday. I forwarded it to Mike.
I haven't seen it. I mean, you would think they would have sent that one to me along with the bridge one, because I would have asked for a consult on that too.
Well, maybe they screwed up completely. Maybe we did qualify, and they, you know, they didn't list any reasons why we didn't. But I'll look into that this week here.
Can you copy me, please?
I will.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's really important for you to work with Kathy on that one, and we'll get a united response back to them and find out what the deal is. Yeah, we weren't aware that they had made any conclusion on it yet. So, okay, but thanks for that update. I hope it's not true, but it may be. Okay, anything else anybody else wants to bring up in our meeting? Okay, well, I guess we're done with our work session. Thank you very much, everybody who's tuned in, and council members for your participation. And we'll see you all next week. Good evening, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Thank you. Enjoy the weather.
Right.